Picture this for a second, all right? Think about what happens when the processing power of a massive warehouse-sized data center suddenly shrinks down, like physically shrinks down, and fits perfectly on your desk.
Right. It's hard to even visualize at first.
Yeah. And not just that. What happens when the artificial intelligence running on that hardware stops being this, clunky chatbot we're all used to, and actually starts moving literally at the speed of human thought?
Well, I mean, it forces a total recalibration of how we view our entire digital infrastructure.
Totally.
Because when hardware runs at the speed of thought, we're no longer waiting for technology to catch up to our ideas. We are actively racing to survive the systems we've built. The convergence of zero-latency hardware and true algorithmic autonomy is permanently altering the vulnerability landscape.
Which is exactly what we're getting into today. Welcome to the deep dive. We are unpacking a genuinely terrifying but brilliant intelligence stack from the Tekin Knight Evening dossier. This was published by tekingame.com on August 27, 2026.
And it's a crucial one to go through.
Oh, absolutely. This isn't just a list of new gadgets for you to buy. We're tracking a foundational architectural shift here. We're looking at how physical computing bottlenecks are just being systematically eradicated, starting from Apple's insane new workstation chips all the way to radically redesigned cloud accelerators from NVIDIA and Samsung.
Right, they're completely rewriting the rules of data movement.
They really are, and we're investigating a single core question for you today. As these physical bottlenecks just disappear, allowing AI to run macroeconomic simulations and, frankly, weaponize social engineering campaigns at lightning speed, how is this forcing us to rethink human security entirely?
I think the through line in this entire dossier is latency.
The lag.
Exactly. For decades, the limiting factor in computing wasn't the processor itself. It was the time it took to move data from point A to point B. What we're seeing now is the complete collapse of that travel time, both on the local desktop and in the hyperscale data center.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand where this whole AI revolution is going, we first have to look at the hardware physically sitting on our
The
desks.
consumer side.
Right. According to the Tekin Knight dossier, Apple has just fundamentally re-engineered the workstation paradigm. They've dropped the M6 and the dual-die M5 Ultra chips, and the specs on this M5 Ultra inside the new Mac Studio are just, well, they're jarring.
They really are. It's a massive leap.
We're looking at 512 gigabytes of unified memory, 1.640 gigabytes per second of memory bandwidth, 32 CPU cores, 96 GPU cores, and they achieve this utilizing what they call Ultra Fusion packaging.
Right, the Ultra Fusion.
And even the standard M6 boasts a 3-nanometer graphics core, yielding a 50% increase in geometry processing. I mean, it's wild.
It is. And, the term packaging often gets glossed over by consumers, but Ultra Fusion is really the mechanical miracle here. Well, traditionally, if you wanted two massive processors to work together, you placed them on a motherboard and connected them with copper traces.
Right, physically separate chips.
Exactly. But that introduces distance. And in computing, distance introduces heat and lag. Ultra Fusion uses a silicon interposer. It's essentially a microscopic bridge connecting the two dies with over 10,000 separate signals.
Oh, wow, 10,000.
Yeah. It allows two independent chips to behave natively as one single monolithic processor. The software literally cannot tell it's running on two separate pieces of silicon.
Okay, hold on, wait. I got to push back on this a little. 512 gigabytes of memory on a desktop machine sounds incredible on a spec sheet, but financially, economically, it makes zero sense to me.
You'd think so, yeah.
I mean, why would a developer drop thousands of dollars brute forcing a massive local machine when they can just spin up a highly scalable AWS or Google Cloud cluster for like pennies on the dollar? Is Apple just engineering this for the sake of flexing?
That is a really common assumption, but it ignores the fundamental physics of data movement. The cloud isn't a magic void, it is strictly bound by the PCIe bus bottleneck.
Okay, explain that a bit for the listeners.
Sure. When you run a massive 70 billion or 120 billion parameter frontier AI model in the cloud, you're constantly shuffling data between the system memory, the CPU, and the GPU. Every single time you move that data, you copy it.
Oh, right. You're duplicating it over and over.
Exactly. And this creates massive memory fragmentation. It creates micro stutters. It's highly inefficient.
So, if I'm understanding this, it's like a chef working in a huge commercial kitchen where the ingredients are all the way in the pantry. Every time they need something, they have to stop cooking, walk to the pantry, copy the ingredient, so to speak, and carry it back to the stove.
That's a great way to picture it, yes.
So by using unified memory locally, Apple is basically eliminating that whole walk. All the ingredients are already prepped and sitting right on the cutting board. Instead of the CPU and the GPU passing notes back and forth and constantly copying data into their own separate pools, they share the exact same physical brain.
That captures the architecture perfectly. It's about pointers, not copies.
The data just sits there. Both processors access the exact same memory address simultaneously.
Exactly. Machine learning researchers can now load these massive, full-precision, unquantized AI models entirely within local system RAM. They execute on-premise without any PCIe latency throttling.
That's huge.
It is. The dossier actually quotes Johnny Srouji, Apple's senior vice president of hardware technologies, on this specific mechanism. He notes that this architecture eliminates the traditional barriers separating desktop workstations from massive cloud compute clusters.
Mm-hmm.
It's placing supercomputing capabilities directly onto the developer's desk.
But wait, if the processor is capable of chewing through that much data instantly, you hit a completely new physical wall, don't you?
You do. The input bottleneck.
Right. How do you feed the beast? How do you get data into that Mac Studio fast enough? Because you can't just plug in a standard USB thumb drive and expect it to keep up with a 120 billion parameter model.
Which brings us to the Samsung P9 detailed in the briefing.
Yes, I wanted to talk about this.
It was unveiled at Gamescom 2026, and it is the world's first 8-terabyte external solid-state drive operating over native USB 4.
And the numbers on this thing are wild. 4,000 megabytes per second sequential read speeds. You can transfer a 100 gigabyte file in under 25 seconds.
It's incredibly fast.
Plus, it has an IP65 rating and survives a 3-meter drop onto solid concrete. But why is USB 4 the critical piece of the puzzle here?
Because native USB 4 implements PCIe tunneling.
Mm.
Older USB protocols had massive overhead. The data had to be translated and packaged before it could even talk to the computer's processor.
So it was like a language barrier.
Exactly. But USB 4 allows the raw PCIe traffic from the NVMe storage controller inside the Samsung drive to speak directly to the Apple M5 Ultra's core logic.
Yeah.
You were essentially extending the internal motherboard to the outside of the computer case.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That allows for uncompressed 12K raw video ingest or running 200 gigabyte AAA games directly off the external drive without dropping a single frame.
Okay, so what does this all mean for the broader infrastructure? We are looking at Apple and Samsung absolutely tearing down the physical bottlenecks on the local workstation, but local compute is only half the equation here. The Tech Ignite briefing highlights that enterprise-level collaborative AI is slamming into a massive memory wall in the cloud. I mean, we can't all run our own local supercomputers for everything.
Oh, I can. And the memory wall is an existential crisis for data centers right now. For years, the industry relied on standard graphics processing units, GPUs, paired with high bandwidth memory, or HBM, to run AI.
Okay.
But HBM uses dynamic RAM. On a microscopic level, dynamic RAM stores data using tiny capacitors that leak charge. They have to be electrically refreshed thousands of times a second just to remember the data they are holding.
Thousands of times a second, which takes time and generates an unbelievable amount of heat and power consumption, I'm guessing.
Exactly. When you are doing real-time natural language inference, which is, you know, millions of users asking an AI to generate a response simultaneously, waiting for those capacitors to refresh creates a catastrophic latency bottleneck.
So the dossier notes that NVIDIA and Samsung Foundry have mass-produced a radical countermeasure to this, the Grok 3 LPX Rack Scale Accelerator.
Yes. This is a game changer.
Built on Samsung's 4-nanometer process node, each rack houses 256 dedicated language processing units, or LPUs. And here's the kicker. They completely abandon high bandwidth memory.
They dropped it entirely.
Yeah, they're using on-chip SRAM and optical fabrics instead.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the shift from HBM to SRAM is what makes this a real turning point.
Yeah.
SRAM, or static RAM, uses a flip-flop logic gate. Once the data is set, it stays set. No refreshing.
Also, just holds the state.
Exactly. It is blindingly fast, but traditionally, it takes up far too much physical space on the silicon to be practical for massive storage. But Grok engineered a way to just blanket the chip in SRAM.
Wow.
And by pairing it with optical fabrics, which use photons of light instead of electrons traveling over copper wire, they eliminated the electrical resistance between the chips.
Let me try a real-world analogy to map this out for you guys listening. A traditional GPU setup with high bandwidth memory sounds like an automotive assembly line, where the workers have to take the car off the line, drive it to a warehouse across the street, and then drive it back to the line just to attach the very next bolt.
That's a very accurate picture of the latency involved.
But what Grok is doing with on-chip SRAM means the car never leaves the conveyor belt.
That captures the logistical shift perfectly. By kicking the token state entirely on the SRAM conveyor belt, the Grok 3LPX pushes sustained generation rates of 800 to 1100 tokens per second per concurrent user stream.
Over 1,000 tokens a second. A human reads, what, maybe 4 words a second? The AI is spitting out the equivalent of a full novel every few minutes.
And it does so while cutting data center power overhead by over 60%.
That's insane.
The commercial implications are foundational here. Sustained inference represents over 85% of an AI's total lifecycle cost. Training is a one-time sunk cost, right? But inference is a perpetual utility bill.
Right. You pay every time someone asks a question.
Exactly. Samsung Systems Engineering Directorate is quoted in the dossier validating this architectural specialization as the only path to scalable inference. They say it brings token generation up to the exact speed of human thought.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We've established that the hardware bottlenecks are dead. We have silicon operating at the speed of thought on our desks and in the cloud.
Yes.
So, what are these autonomous AI models actually doing with all that compute? According to the briefing, they aren't just chatting. They are mapping out multi-month macroeconomic strategies.
They are. The deployment detailed in the Take a Night dossier by Google DeepMind and Fenris Creations is just a masterclass in artificial general intelligence research.
What did they?
They deployed autonomous multi-agent reinforcement learning, or Marowell swarms, inside the universe of EVE Online.
Okay, an AI beat a video game. That's fun for gamers, I guess. But because DeepMind deployed this in EVE Online, we aren't just looking at isolated game mechanics, right? Mm-hmm. We're looking at a deeply volatile, player-driven simulation of human macroeconomics.
Exactly. It's not just a game.
Right. These MRL swarms didn't just automate space dogfights. They built predictive algorithmic trading routes, anticipating interstellar market shifts. They optimized complex mineral supply chains across contested territories.
Yes, and they mitigated piracy risks, reducing fleet losses by 75% compared to historical human baselines.
75%. But why should a real-world supply chain CEO or a logistics manager care about virtual spaceships?
What makes this so critical is that EVE is a non-stationary environment. In traditional games like chess or Go, the rules are fixed. The board doesn't change.
Right.
In a non-stationary environment, the metagame is constantly shifting based on human irrationality, dynamic coalition negotiations, and betrayals. The multi-agent swarms had to achieve Nash equilibrium against unpredictable human adversaries over months of continuous execution.
And this is the translation layer to the real world, isn't it? A logistics manager running a global supply chain doesn't care about virtual space titanium, but the underlying mathematics are identical.
The exact same algorithms managing risk in that digital galaxy map perfectly to automated orbital traffic control, maritime port logistics, and global supply chain resilience.
It's a one-to-one mapping.
Essentially, yes. The multi-agent research group at DeepMind stated this explicitly. By mastering the ultimate digital simulation of human economics and geopolitical strategy, they have made a critical leap toward AI capable of multi-month real-world planning.
A machine that can forecast global market shifts and human behavior months into the future. It's breathtaking, honestly.
It is.
But it brings us to the dark side of this equation. DeepMind proves AI can master complex human systems like diplomacy and economics. But when bad actors gain access to generative AI operating at 800 tokens a second, that exact same capability is weaponized against us in the real world.
This raises an important question. When the physical hardware becomes impenetrable and the AI logic becomes flawlessly predictive, where does the security vulnerability actually lie?
The human.
The answer is the human endpoint.
Always.
Always.
The Take a Night dossier details a really alarming discovery by cybersecurity researchers at Sagrador. They exposed a phishing as a service or FACE platform on the dark web known as Anonymous Skit.
Yes, Anonymous Skit.
This platform leverages generative voice AI specifically engineered to bypass Apple's hardware-based activation lock on stolen iPhones and iPads.
The business model of cybercrime has completely evolved here. The thieves stealing the physical devices on the street are no longer the hackers. They don't need technical skills. They just rent the AI infrastructure from Anonymous Skit.
Right. And here is how the attack vector actually works. Anonymous Skit initiates an outbound automated call to the victim who just had their device stolen. The generative AI voice dynamically replicates professional Apple support scripts.
Flawlessly.
It references the victim's exact, accurate device serial numbers. It sounds perfectly empathetic, telling the victim that their device has been recovered by local authorities.
It builds trust immediately.
Exactly. Then for quote-unquote identity verification, the AI asks the victim to read back a two-factor authentication SMS token or to verbally verify their device passcode. The second the victim speaks those numbers out loud, the AI processes it instantly and unlocks the hardware for black market resale.
The Socrator Threat Intelligence Directorate noted this as a terrifying evolution in social engineering. The AI's real-time token generation allows it to adapt to the victim's tone, pacing, and skepticism instantly.
So if you sound hesitant, it calms you down.
Right. We are witnessing synthetic voice generation circumventing incredibly robust hardware cryptography entirely through human manipulation.
They can't hack the M5 Ultra chip, so they hack the human psychology instead. But if the AI sounds exactly like a real employee and has all my private serial numbers, how is the average person supposed to defend themselves against this?
The defense protocols outlined in the dossier require a pretty severe behavioral shift. First, users must internalize the zero disclosure policy. Apple support, or frankly, any legitimate tech entity, will never organically solicit device unlock codes or 2FA SMS tokens over a voice call. Ever.
Got it.
Second, if a device is lost, you manage it exclusively through the official localized routing protocol, like iCloud.com for some find. You never react to an inbound communication. If they call you, hang up.
But the dossier also points to a physical hardware defense, right? Transitioning to hardware FIDO2 security keys.
This is the most critical technical defense we have right now. A FIDO2 key isn't just a password alternative. When you plug that cryptographic USB key into your device, the hardware utilizes a public and private key pair to cryptographically verify the actual web domain or localized system you are attempting to authenticate with.
Oh, wow. Wait, so even if the human is completely fooled by the sophisticated voice AI on the phone, the USB key physically cannot be tricked into unlocking the wrong digital door?
Yes. It verifies the endpoint, not the user. It binds the authentication to the specific verified channel.
That's brilliant.
You cannot read a physical cryptographic signature over the phone to a scammer. It entirely removes the human vulnerability from the verification chain. Cultivating this kind of rigorous cyber defense isn't an IT specialty anymore.
It's just survival.
Exactly. As the editor's note in the briefing highlighted, hardware sovereignty and algorithmic autonomy are accelerating together. Vigilance is now a basic requirement for participating in modern society.
Which really brings this entire deep dive full circle. We started by looking at Apple and Samsung engineering hardware that obliterates physical bottlenecks.
The unified memory, the SRAM.
Right. Unified memory that eliminates PCIe lag, on-chip SRAM, and optical fabrics that remove the memory wall. We saw how that zero latency hardware empowers models from DeepMind to remove cognitive bottlenecks, mapping out macroeconomics months in advance.
But the ultimate bottleneck and the ultimate vulnerability isn't silicon or software.
No.
It's us. As machines achieve supercomputing memory density and true algorithmic autonomy, we have to fundamentally distrust our own senses in digital spaces.
So here is a final provocative thought to mull over as you digest all of this today. If autonomous AI can now flawlessly synthesize reality and adapt to human emotion at 800 tokens a second, how long before these systems begin actively socially engineering each other?
That's a chilling thought.
How long before our AI agents are negotiating, deceiving, and authenticating our digital lives entirely without us even knowing the conversation took place?
It might already be happening.
To stay ahead of these hardware leaps and cyber threats, and to read the full, incredibly detailed intelligence dossier we unpacked today, you need to visit teakinggame.com. That is your authoritative source for all this tech intelligence. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious and stay vigilant out there.